Pray that everyone had a good Easter day today and looking forward to the week that is ahead of us and serving the Lord as we go into another new week. The Lord might give us opportunity to be a witness for Him. While they're passing those outlines out, if you would be turning to Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter 14 is where we'll start. We'll be looking at a number of passages tonight. I've got notes in my pocket. I've got notes everywhere. So maybe we can get through this. Tonight we will be dealing with the last of the original 12 apostles. Of course, we left Judas for last because he is always last in every list that you will find of the apostles. Judas Iscariot is always the last one to be mentioned. We've studied all the others. Last week we studied those little known apostles that very little is said about them. We have looked at the well-known apostles, Peter, James, John, those that were willing to go and to do all the things that God had prepared for them. And tonight we deal with this last of the original 12. Now, there were some to take place, someone to take his place, and then of course we have the Apostle Paul. But these are the 12 apostles that were chosen, hand-picked, hand-chosen by the Lord. And sometimes it's difficult to understand this particular apostle, and we will try to get into some of that those principles tonight about this false apostle. Judas Iscariot was he was a counterfeit. He was not real. And he was a deceiver from the very beginning, and yet the Lord chose him to be one of his original 12. In Matthew chapter 14, verse number 21, we have here the part of the last Passover, the Last Supper. The Bible says in verse 17, when the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. So we know here he was with the 12, and he makes the announcement that one of them is going to be, or is, the betrayer. And verse number 19 says, And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? That's a strange question. Those apostles, every one of them, wondered, Am I going to be the one that betrays you? Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. What a statement to make about an individual. It would have been better that he had never been born rather than to do the things that he has devised in his heart and has schemed in his conniving ways to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we find that Judas is a professing believer, but yet it's only to propagate and to give forth and to help his own plans and to help him do the things that he desires to do. He appeared to be one of them. He was one of them. He appeared to have all the benefits and all the things. And for 3 years, he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And for 3 years, three and a half, he saw all the things that were taking place. He joined in that band of the Lord, and he was determined that he was going to be with. Apparently, Judas initially maybe even shared in the thought maybe that by some other way he could be in the kingdom of God. But yet we know he did not accept, he did not believe, he did not trust the Lord Jesus Christ. While others were growing, Judas was quietly becoming more vile. While they were making progress in their life, as Peter was learning not to always speak, and as others of the disciples were learning how that they were to conduct themselves and to show some restraint, and how that the Lord was teaching them I believe Judas was sitting over on the sideline, sort of watching, and yet his heart certainly was unregenerate. His heart was vile. His heart was wicked. His heart was hardened. I believe his heart was certainly deceived by the wicked one. And he is the one that sold the Lord out for just a few pieces of silver. He is the one that is mentioned and given as the betrayer in the Word of God. There are many things said about him, but the greatest that can be said, and the thing that is remembered about him more than anything else, he is the betrayer. And I don't believe it's something that happened on the spur of the moment. I believe it's something he had planned for quite a while. He was that one that we look at as the ungodly style of an individual, but yet he was still just one of the 12. He was just one of those men that the Lord had chosen, and he was an apostle. It's hard for us to understand. Judas was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Luke chapter number 6, let's turn there. In Luke chapter number 6, verse 13, here we have the list, and certainly Judas is put in there in this list. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, "When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." So here's the disciples that are sitting around the Lord. There's many of those. There's many people that were following the Lord Jesus Christ, and out of that group, he chose 12, and he called them apostles, and then he lists their names. There's Simon, who's named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot. And notice the footnote there. The last thing that says said about him in the very beginning, it says here, Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And so he is chosen of the Lord. He was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a disciple. He was in that group of disciples. He was in that group of people that supposedly were believers. He was in that group of folks that were following the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had shown an interest in the Lord, and he had done those things that were told him to do, and he was chosen especially by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ to be one of that select group that would be that foundation, that building built upon the foundation of the Lord himself, those 12 apostles, which was the first church. The Bible says that the Lord placed in the church first apostles. He put them in there first. And so therefore we know that before Pentecost, there was a group of people that, those apostles that had been placed there and grouped together and been called out, and they assembled together, and they were doing business for the Lord. So he was in that group of all the disciples, and he was in that select group of the apostles. He was chosen of the Lord. He had the same privilege as all the others. He was called, and he was called an apostle, Judas Iscariot. That means that he was empowered. That means, unless he stood out very significantly, he had to be able to do some of the things that those other apostles did. He certainly, I'm sure, Judas preached some. And I put down here some 4 or 5 things. Judas probably was working with sometimes when the healing of the sick was taking place, and the cleansing of lepers, and even watching maybe the raising of the dead. He was associated with that group in such a way that he did not stand out. And so to what extent he had these powers, I don't know, but at least he was numbered with the 12. And if he didn't have all these abilities, if he couldn't blend in that group some way, somehow, he would have stood out. And so he was accepted by the other apostles. The verse that we read there in Matthew says, or Mark rather, when the Lord announced that one of them was going to betray him, they didn't all look at Judas. They didn't point their finger of accusation and say, "We know who he is. We've been around him long enough. We know what kind of man Judas is." No, they asked, "Is it I?" And so there was a blending here with this wicked, evil man, with the group of men that were truly birthed into the family of God. He was accepted by those around him. He was accepted by those other apostles, and he fit in. He fit right in to all of those. And the Bible tells us that he was also called a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that he has well blended himself into the things of the Lord. He looked like he probably was just as much real as did Peter and John the Beloved. He looked as real, and he made statements, and he did things that would not call attention to him because he was just one of that select group. And so he was an apostle. No doubt about that. The scriptures very clearly tell us that. And he was accepted by those others. He fit in. There's a lot of people today that are in the house of God. They fit in. And they sometimes fit real well. But that doesn't mean they're saved. That doesn't mean they've really, truly been born again. And so that's why I'm glad that the determination of saved and lost is not my job. It's not your job. It is the Lord that knows the heart. It is the Lord that called Judas. It is the Lord that knew Judas. And no one else expected him. They were probably surprised. He was an apostle, and he was also an eyewitness to all the things that took place. He saw everything that Jesus did, yet died without God. He heard all the messages. He saw all the things, and he heard all the words that Jesus spake openly and even privately to his group. He was a part of that, but yet he went out and hanged himself after he understood and realized his damnation. He was a part of the 12 that stayed with Jesus those 3.5 years, and on occasion others would leave and would go, and not Judas. He was there. He was there to stay. He had a mission. He had a purpose, and that purpose was to betray the innocent blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, he sat down and had meals with the Lord. He sat and ate with the Lord. He slept outside he slept outside under the stars alongside the Lord and the other disciple. He was in that group of men that walked along the Sea of Galilee, and he is the man that walked in the wilderness, and he's the one that heard all the things that Jesus said, yet he was without God. So we can be the beneficiary of many, many good things and yet die without the Lord. We can have all the things going for us. We can have all the benefits of being in church. We can have the benefits of being raised in a godly home. We have the benefits of everything that should make us what we ought to be, but it doesn't necessarily happen that way. And we'll look at that in just a moment. Judas Iscariot, he knew the Lord. He knew him really well. He knew where he went. He knew what he did. And he used those things that he knew about the Lord to be the betrayer. He understood exactly. He knew exactly what Jesus looked like. He knew how tall he was. He knew everything about him. He knew the color of his skin, his eyes. He knew the accent that he had in his lips. He walked with him for mile after mile. He actually, face to face, on countless many times, he would talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But underlying all that, from the very beginning, he is known as of the Lord as the betrayer. And he gives us those details. He knew what places Jesus went to. He knew what things he wanted to do. He knew the favorite foods. He knew all the personal traits about the Lord. He witnessed the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ firsthand. My, to have so many advantages, to have so many privileges. I wonder tonight how many privileges and advantages that people in our country have, but yet they die without God. How many privileges that we have as an American to hear the gospel over and over and over again, yet we go our own way and we die without the Lord and we go to hell with all the privileges that America offers to people. I hear missionaries talk and tell about the different countries and how that people are getting saved, and we barely can scratch out just a few to hear the gospel. And we have so many privileges, and we have so many things that would be good for us if we would just take advantage of that. But after all these close first-hand experiences, with the Lord, Jesus is betrayed by Judas. He's the betrayer. Just for a few pieces of silver. Just for an amount of money that really was insignificant, but he betrayed the Lord of glory. Sent Jesus and betrayed him to a cruel death. And I put here, faith is a funny thing because seeing is not always believing. Judas saw that. Now remember Thomas? Thomas said, I'll not believe unless I see. Well, Judas had seen, and yet he still did not believe. His heart was wicked, and his life was wicked against the Lord. He was a counterfeit from the very, very onset. Look in Matthew chapter 13. Turn over to Matthew chapter 13 just for a moment. Verse number 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in the field, but while he slept, his enemy came and sowed in tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and there and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Now, they didn't appear all the time. Didn't appear the whole time, just after they're let to grow up. Judas looked all right for a while, and then all of a sudden, we find out he's not what he says he is. So this parable the Lord gave in Matthew chapter 13 says that the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field, and whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also wheat with them. The tares and the wheat, the tares look like wheat until it comes fruit-bearing time. The blade, the spray that springs up looks real, it looks right, but there's nothing there. And the tares, all that did was to take up space, and the tares would choke down the real wheat and would bring about a disorder. And so Judas was a tare. He was a counterfeit. He looked real. He looked like he ought to look, and he acted like he ought to act, but maybe clean on the outside, but the inside of his heart was wicked and vile and ungodly, and he had nothing that was real because he's a counterfeit. And that's one of the most dangerous type of people that you'll have around you. The type of person that looks okay, acts okay, but underneath in his heart he's wicked. Underneath his life is vile and ungodly, but he hides it real good. He puts a facade up, he puts a false face on, and he'll dress up and he'll look right. But all along he's that one trying to stir up and trying to tear down the things of the Lord. And that was Judas's heart. His heart was still in the world. His heart had not been changed. He only thought of himself. I wrote down a couple of things about Judas here a while ago, just afterthoughts. I find that Judas in John chapter 17 verse 12, he's called the son of perdition. The only other person called the son of perdition is the man of sin, Antichrist, that's coming in the tribulation. And he doesn't have a good name. He's the son of ungodliness. He's the son of wickedness. The Bible says that the devil put it into his heart. After they dipped the bread in the sop, the devil put it in his heart. He entered into his heart and put it there that he would betray the Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 13 verse 27 that Satan entered into him. And so we find there's a lot of problems with Judas. The main biggest problem is that he was a counterfeit. And now he has been possessed by the wicked one to go out and do whatever is in his heart to do. And what's in his heart is what's been placed there by the god of this world, Satan. So we're dealing with a man that covered it for a while, but he couldn't cover it forever, just like the world tonight. People on the church roll may look good for a while, but there comes a day they stand before God. They may do things, they may act right, they may do all the things that are supposed to do that I mean, we're good at putting rules and regulations. They may do all of those things, but that doesn't make them a Christian. That doesn't make them right with God. Judas blended, and Judas did all of that. But the Bible says that Satan entered into his heart. He was literally possessed of the devil. He's called the son of perdition. There are a lot of people that believe that Judas was the pre-incarnate Antichrist. A lot of scripture that would almost make you believe that. I don't know. I don't go that far yet. There's a lot of scripture that can identify. Jesus came twice, so maybe the wicked one did come twice. But I know there's so many things in the life of Judas that showed who he was really honoring and serving, and he was deceitful, he was wicked, he was ungodly, and it was that way from the very onset. He wasn't a good person for a while and then go bad. He wasn't some good old Joe that finally he just went bad. No, he was bad from the very beginning. But before we go too far on Judas, we're bad from the beginning also. We are sinners from the onset. We are wicked. And without the blessings of God, without the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be just like Judas. Judas always only thought of himself. Not only was he an apostle, not only was he counterfeit, but he was a thief. We know that. John chapter 12, turn there if you would. John chapter 12. Of course, we know the story here, the supper at Bethany and Lazarus. Then Jesus, being 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, and took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. Uh-oh. Now you've gotten to hold of his underlying part of his problem. One of his disciples, who is Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Judas Iscariot is in the scriptures. Those names are listed about 9 times in the Word of God in the New Testament. And just about every one of those times it is identified as the one that would betray him. And so Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Sounds good, doesn't it? Self-serving. But notice underlying his problem. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. I have to remember now, John's writing under inspiration. The Holy Spirit of God knew his heart. And so John writes, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. That's very clear. The Holy Spirit that inspired the Word of God that we have preserved to us in our Bible tells us that Judas was a thief. I wonder how much he had stole before this. He says, let's not anoint the feet of the Lord Jesus. Let's not have that aroma in the house. That could be sold for the poor. No, that could have been put in his pocket. That's really what he was interested in. It's very costly. And scripture says he was a thief. Now here's the bad part. And he had the bag and bare what was put therein. Not only was he a thief, but he's the one that carried the money. So they trusted Judas. He didn't stand out as the betrayer. He didn't stand out as a thief. So we find here the scriptures very clearly show us what he was. I'll tell you what, thievery is a wicked sin. It's something you have to deal with. It's something that does not go unnoticed. Thievery is something that will break in on you and rob you of certain things that you possess. Somebody violates your space and your what you have, and they take it for their own, and they just don't care. He was a thief. I may have told you there is a difference between a robber and a thief. The Scripture says thieves and robbers, so there has to be a difference. A robber will come up to you, and you know that you're being robbed. If I come up to Brother Larry and stick a gun in my hand, put it in his face, say, I want your billfold, I've robbed him. But if Larry leaves his billfold laying around, nobody's around but me, and I look through it and I take a $50 bill, I'm a thief. Because he doesn't know it. Results are the same, but there's different actions. A robber will do it to your face. Thief does it behind your back. And the Bible says that Judas was a thief. Didn't call him a robber, called him a thief. He did it unbeknownst to all the disciples. But it wasn't unbeknown to the Lord. And so here is an indication. Here this ointment had been put upon the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary washes his feet with her hair, and the odor fills the room. And Judas says, ah, that could have been sold. And all Judas is saying, that could have been mine. Ungodly, wicked. He was a thief. One of the problems in America tonight is that we have a lot of thieves and robbers. Knowingly and unknowingly. Why? Places of business, everywhere you go now, I'm afraid to even look at something and even look like I might put it in my pocket because there's a camera watching you somewhere. I was in Lowe's the other day. I got some little old something, and I was doing something else, and I stuck that in my pocket. I said, oh, I did this. I knew somebody was watching me. But the reason that takes place is because we are infested with thieves and robbers. Billions of dollars every year stolen in the stores of America, and guess who pays for it? We that are honest. A thief will rob you of your joy. A thief will rob you of the things that you have. And the best thing to keep from doing that is just not love the things of this world. Love of money is the root of all evil. Why did Jesus choose Judas? If he knew all this about him, if he had such a character, why was he chosen? Well, we might ought to ask ourselves the question, wonder why he chose us. Wonder why we're saved tonight. I wrote down some things this afternoon. I put them on this paper because I wasn't really sure I was going to go through these. Because I certainly don't want to confuse anybody on things, but I think it tells us why these things worked out as they did in the life of Judas. Judas was God's choice. Judas was the Lord's choice. And he betrayed Jesus Christ. Now we cannot say that Jesus didn't know what was going to take place. So you can't say Jesus chose him not knowing. Oh, but he did know. You can't say that Jesus was caught off guard. He's never caught off guard. And I want to try to be very careful in saying these things because I want you to understand where I'm going. You see, there are some people that say, well, Judas just had to do what he did because that was foreordained and preordained that he do that without any consequence in his own heart. Now, I do believe in foreordination. I believe in all those things that the Scripture tells us, but that does not make us, it does not put us where we're not guilty or not innocent of what we do for ourselves. We are we still have our human freedom to do as we so choose and so please. I'm not too sure about the free will of man, because man's will is so depraved. Our will is so undertaken by ungodliness and sin, I'm not too sure it's too free. But Judas Iscariot betrayed Christ, and he betrayed him because God had determined that he would work out all the situations in the life of Judas that he would be the betrayer. He ordained that he would move in his own will. Man is free because God ordained him to be free. Man is not a puppet of God. Judas was not a puppet of God. He makes his own decisions, and you and I tonight, we are responsible for our own decisions. Everything, but we have to understand that everything is under the control of God. I've said that time and time again. God's in control. If I didn't believe that, I would run and hide somewhere and never stick my head out again. If God's not in control, then I wonder who is in control. If God's not in control, who is? And so we find that all the details of this universe is worked out by the Lord, and it's going to work just like it's supposed to. Why? Because God has chosen it to work that way. We get up in the morning, the sun rises. Well, maybe I'll say the sun rises and we get up, one of the two. Some get up before, some get up after. But the sun rises. And it does that because God has placed everything in motion according to His determinate counsel. It has just been determined that's going to happen. Nations war, nations fuss, all under His control. Thank God's under His control. We can't play a game with sin. And somebody says, oh, I sinned because it was determined that I would sin. No, no, no. That's the fatalist way. There's a preacher, or there's a fellow here in town that he thinks he knows who's preordained and who's not. If I call his name, somebody would know it. And I was talking to someone yesterday, and they said, do you know him? I said, yeah, I know him. He said, do you know that he's told his own son that he cannot be saved because he's not an elect? Now that's the far extreme way over there out that does not work. But we must understand that the things that happen in this world are determined by God. While the Bible even tells us in Acts, turn over if you would, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22. Here, Peter preaching, he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken. Now here's Jesus, and it's been determined beforehand that you're going to take him. Were those men guilty of that? Sure they were. They were guilty of sin. It says, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And so God works in the affairs of men to carry out his will. He moves people. He moves men. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And the Bible says he raises kings and destroys kingdoms at his own will, that his will might be accomplished. So Jesus was taken by the determinate counsel of God. And God acted it, worked it out in the will of man that they wanted to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Joseph in the Old Testament. Why did Jacob display affection to Joseph more than his other sons? It was his choice. He was not moved like a puppet. It was his choice to do that. Why did the brothers sell him? Why did the Midianites come and purchase him? Because they were just a puppet with God that would get Joseph over? No. They did it because they saw a way to have profit. And his brothers wanted to get rid of him. But God's working some things out in their lives that his will might be accomplished. Was Pharaoh programmed to take Joseph and make him prime minister? No. The Pharaoh saw that Joseph was good for his kingdom. And God used that to put Joseph in a place that he would be the deliverer of his people Israel. Now, I can't put all that together. You can never put God's side and man's side together and understand it, but you just have to believe it. You just have to accept it. And Judas acts out of his own will. The fact that God overrules the actions of evil men does not make them any less guilty. They are guilty. Judas acted against his own conscience. He does it freely. He alone is responsible for his action. He's guilty. He is the betrayer. And Judas is the prime example of one that would think he could stop sinning anytime he wanted to. I've seen people and I've heard people say, well, I'll get saved when I get ready. I'm sorry to inform those folks, they'll get saved when God calls them. When God, the Holy Spirit, quickens their heart and makes them have life and gives them life. That's why the Bible says our hearts are deceitfully wicked. That's why the Scripture tells us that sin will deceive us. It will harden our heart. It will blind our eyes and it will destroy us. And it'll give us destroy us to the reality of the results of sin. I wonder when it came to pass in Judas's life. I wonder when it happened. One day Judas would say, I will not repent. I will not go back. And I will not repent of my thievery. And then I wonder about maybe the next day Judas could not. I do believe there's a time that we cannot. There's a time when God no longer deals with us. I've heard it say we sent away our day of grace. That may not be exactly a right terminology, but we know what it means. That we can go so far that God says, all right, go your own way. And so, Judas here, a counterfeit, but yet he's responsible for all those things. He's a betrayer. Why did the Lord choose him? Because the Lord knew that there would be a betrayal. The Lord knew. You see, we have a hard time understanding foreknowledge. There's two definitions of foreknowledge. One definition is to know beforehand and act upon that. Foreknowledge. If I know what's out there tomorrow, I'm going to move things around so I won't get hurt. That's an attitude of foreknowledge. But there's also a foreknowledge that I know and determine, and this is only God's part. He knows and he can determine what's going to happen tomorrow. Therefore, he knows it. You know, there's a day that one day the Lord's going to come again. And my Bible tells me that the only person that knows that day is God himself. Not even the angels in heaven. You know what? That has already been predetermined. Now don't go out and call me a hard shell and all that stuff. But there's a day out there that God's already determined that's it. And he's working it all out. That day, when it comes, that'll be it. That's why I try my best, and I've explained that before. I try my best not to say if the Lord tarries his coming. He will not tarry his coming. There's some things you learn terminology just not right. He will not tarry his coming. He will come at that appointed time. Now, if it's tonight, that means everything's worked out just according to God's determinate counsel and his will. If it doesn't happen tonight, that means there's something else going to take place. But I do know one thing, He is coming. Judas was the betrayer. I've got to get back where we were here. I didn't put all those others in there. I didn't want it in print. No, I just wasn't sure I was going there. Judas was a betrayer. Zechariah 11, 12, 13. To give away, betrayers, one to give away to the enemy, to hand over, to expose to the power of the enemy by disloyalty, to be unfaithful, to let down. Sometimes it's said we betray our friend's confidence. That means somebody has told us something in confidence and we tell somebody that we betray it. That's like Mike back there being a doctor. He has patient-doctor confidence. And if he betrays that, he's in trouble. But if he betrays that, if he lets that go, then nobody's going to trust. Well, I can't go there. He'll tell everybody in the world what's wrong with me and what's happened in my life. You see, there's a confidence that we must keep. But a betrayer will do that. All of us have been that sometime or another, especially to the Lord. Why did the Pharisees need a betrayer? Couldn't they capture the Lord openly? Well, everybody would have noticed that, and they'd have been against them openly, but they had one man that would betray them. Or betray him. And they needed him to come to them, and he says, now I'll tell you where he is, I'll tell you when he gets there, and I'll even show you who he is by I'll put a kiss on his cheek. He betrayed the Lord. And Judas goes down in history as the betrayer. He was lost. He was without God. He had all the privileges, but yet he did not move upon them. He did not accept. Well, the disciples, what was it? Andrew told his brother, Peter, we've found the Lord, the Messiah. He believed upon him. He trusted him. Judas never did accept the Lord. Judas never did call him Lord. Judas kissed him, but yet died and went to hell. You see, Jesus, the devil tried to destroy Jesus from the very time that he was born right up until the moment of crucifixion. Why was that? Because it had been determined by God that cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. And if Jesus had died any other way, he would not have been our substitute. If he'd have died as a small child when after he was born and Herod put out that decree to kill all the babies, that meant he wasn't the Lord. If those others, those Pharisees and Sadducees and those that came with knives and staves to kill the Lord, if that had happened, he wouldn't have been our Savior. That wasn't in the plan of God. It was God's plan that he be carried and taken to an old rugged cross and die upon that. And there to suffer, bleed, and die for the sins of people. And Judas was lost. He wanted the kingdom of God, but he didn't want the king of the kingdom. He wanted to be accounted with them, but he didn't want to be, he just didn't want the Lord. As I said a while ago, read those verses where Satan entered into him. He was possessed. Started all with the love of money. He was a thief. It ended with the crucifixion of innocent blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we know Matthew 27:5 tells us that he died a wasted, suicidal death. The Bible says he took those 30 pieces of silver and he went back to the Sanhedrin and went back to the priest and he throwed it back at them and didn't want it. He said, I've betrayed innocent blood. And the Bible says he repented to those priests, but he never did repent to God. He repented within himself, but he never repented to God. And the Bible says that unless we repent, we shall all likewise what? Perish. And so Judas, wasted life, wasted talents. Sometimes, even today, people will waste their talents, their time, their prayers, their monies, all because they've never come to know Christ. Judas, he goes out, he hangs himself because he could not stand the knowledge that he had betrayed. And Jesus said, I was betrayed by my friend. No, it's one thing to be betrayed by the weak, by an enemy. You expect that. But Jesus said, I was betrayed by my friend, Judas. And the Bible tells us he goes out, ends his life, dies without God. And I'm afraid he's in hell tonight, crying throughout all the endless ages, I have betrayed innocent blood. Throwing back the money. I don't want it. I don't want the money. And he died without God, without hope. But yet he was an apostle. Chosen of God, chosen of the Lord. And God fulfilled his will in the life of Judas. That Jesus was betrayed, crucified, and as was determined, by wicked hands, they crucified him and they slew, killed the Lord of glory. Well, that finishes up our first, those original disciples, those original apostles. We've gone through all 12 of them now, and probably we'll look at just a little bit at another one or two. There's 14 apostles, one that the church chose to take Judas's place, and one that the Lord chose to go into all the world of the Gentiles, and we know of him as the Apostle Paul. And so the original 12, we have looked at their lives. We haven't seen everything about them. We haven't gotten every detail. But tonight, what a sad ending of a man's life that had every opportunity to know God. Let's stand together tonight.